Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, and we will celebrate how God will not let his church fail or fall. Nothing will overcome God's church because it's God's church. And you'll see that reflected throughout the hymns, the responses, the readings, the prayers, all of it. Today, also a big welcome to all of the visitors, especially the school parents coming to watch the kids sing. Always a great way to start a service. So that is how we will begin our worship this morning. May God bless your worship. We'll continue our worship with hymn 733. Note we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. That's in the supplement, the blue supplement books in front of you.
Thank you.
Please stand. O Lord, open my lips. Hasten to save me, O God. Give glory to God, our light and our life. We now join together in one of the Psalms from God's Word, Psalm 34. You may be seated.
Thank you. Happy indeed are God's people because we have God. God is the God of his church, and that brings us a lot of comfort. We see that today in our lessons, especially the first lesson from Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. The Israelites were in slavery, and yet God here was going to tell them that he was going to save them. Note how many I's we hear in Exodus chapter 6. God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." The word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 11, where we see that we don't need to have any fear as part of God's church because we see just how high above everything our God is. From Romans chapter 11. "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." The word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. That will serve as our sermon text for today, from Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and if there's any children in the congregation who want to come forward, you can meet me at the front step. Right up here on the front steps, guys. Sorry, we don't have the pads in there right now. You'll have to sit on the rock with me. All right. What a blessing it is to see so many kids. What a blessing. God is good. All right, come on in. Find a seat. You guys can even make some spot over there yet. That's okay. All right. Here we go. All right, everybody. Can you see what I have here? What are these? Keys. Yeah, what do keys do? Go ahead, Daniel. They unlock doors. Yeah, they can lock doors, too. They unlock doors, lock doors. Also locks, too. Guess what I have here? What is this? It's a lock. Yeah, here, can I volunteer you? All right, here. Here's the lock. See if you can unlock that lock.
He's all right. He's trying a key. I don't know if that one's going to fit. Try a different one. Try that one. Okay, here we go. Nope, not that one either. Yeah, try that one. That one looks pretty good. Does it fit in there? No, oh, he's going to try it that way. Does it fit? Oh, it fits. Does it turn it? Oh, it doesn't turn it. That's strange. It's almost as if I planned that. You know what this reminds me of? You know how we have a lot of ways that we try to unlock heaven? We try to get into the kingdom of heaven, and us human beings, we have all of these ways that we try to do that. Sometimes we try to do it by just doing good works, and we think that that will open the kingdom of heaven to earn it from God. Yeah, no. Yeah, sometimes we have other ways, and other people come up with different gods, but guess what God did? God provided the right key. I tricked you. I'm sorry. Try that key. There you go. I think you had it. There you go. Does it fit? Turn it. Does it turn? Show everybody. He unlocked it. He had the right key. You know who the right key is for you and me? Jesus. Sorry, I know you're going to say that. Jesus is the right key for you and me, and God provided him for us. He was the perfect Savior that we needed. And he unlocked sin in our bodies. He unlocked us from that sin and the guilt that comes with it. And now he gives us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now we can unlock it for others around us by telling them that they are forgiven in Jesus. Let's pray and thank God for what he's done for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the right key. Thank you for forgiving our sins and being our Savior. Lord, help us to show everyone else around us your forgiveness so that your church can be built up. We ask everything in your gracious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Well done. You guys can head back to your seats, and we'll continue with the hymn of the day, hymn 536, in the red books in front of you. 536. Grace, mercy, and life are yours from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 16, which you just heard read, so I won't reread it at this time. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will confess your Christ. Amen. You find yourself talking with a loved one, and they're caught in sin, and they don't care what God says. What do you say to him or her? You find yourself in the doctor's office, and it turns out the person sitting next to you is suffering from a really tough disease, and they're tired, and they're worn out. They feel like there's no hope. What do you say? You find yourself somehow behind a major accident on the road. You pull over to the side of the road, and you go and help out, and you actually help pull somebody out to the side of the road, but they're dying, and there's nothing you can do. They say, help. What do you say? You're in a friend's house, sitting on the couch, you're talking, and the talk gets pretty deep. Turns out your friend is really struggling with a sin and all of the guilt that comes with it. What do you say? You find yourself in the line at the grocery store, or you find yourself at a sporting event next to a parent who doesn't exactly know who Jesus is. You find yourself out on the street and you see somebody walking who obviously needs to hear about Jesus. You find yourself one of St. Mark's mighty warriors who go knocking door to door telling people about Jesus. You find yourself at lunch with a coworker in the break room. Fill in the blank. You identify somebody who needs to hear about Jesus. What do you say? Who is Jesus? And what did he do? How can you and I bring somebody to faith? And how can we overcome the fear that we have in confessing Christ? Maybe these are some questions that you've had before. Well, God today is going to help us answer those questions. He's going to show us that as we confess Christ, here in this text, we'll see three things. We'll see the content of our confession, we'll see the source of our confession, and we'll see the result of our confession. Our sermon text begins with Jesus as he's traveling along with his disciples yet again, and we're told, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Who is the Son of Man? Jesus asked them. The Son of Man was actually one of Jesus' favorite names for himself. It comes from an Old Testament prophecy. And so here he's asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? And you can see the people give him very high praise. He's among one of the prophets. Maybe he's Elijah come back from the dead, or John the Baptist come back from the dead, or Jeremiah, or at the very least, on their level of one of the prophets. But you don't see any mention of being Savior or being the Messiah. You don't see any of that here. The people obviously needed to know who Jesus really was. And I think you and I have that same thing nowadays. You go out walking on the street, if you ask somebody, who is Jesus? You ask 100 different people, you might get 100 different answers. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus found that out from the people of his day, and he sees that in the people of today too. Some people say he's a great prophet. Even some religions will say that he's the prophet of their religion. Some say he's a great teacher, and that's all he was. Some say he was a great example to follow, and that you have to follow Jesus' example to get to heaven. For them, that's who Jesus was. But again, you see no mention of the Savior. So Jesus wanted to know then, who did his disciples think he was? They had been following him for over 2 years now, when we get to our text. And so Jesus asked them, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" How would you answer that question? If Jesus was standing there in front of you right now, and Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" What would you say? I think we'd do pretty well. I think we'd say, "You are the Savior. You are the one who gives me eternal life. You're the one promised to take away my sins, and you did." And yet, there are still times when you and I struggle in our confession of Christ. You and I can sometimes struggle with our confession of Christ when we take away from his work, when we subtract from it. We can say, "Yes, I believe that you are my Savior from sin. But what some people say is sin, I kind of agree with them that it really isn't sin and that you didn't really pay for those sins." And we're swayed by that modern opinion. Or we're swayed by a modern opinion in a different way. We think, "Well, yes, you are my Savior from sin, Jesus, but the origin and the depth and the result of that sin and what the Bible says about it doesn't really match what modern scientists say about evolution and the origin of the world, so I'll try to mash those together there to try to make everybody happy." And we subtract from Jesus' work when we do that, and the extent of what he's done and what it means. But not only do we subtract in our confession, sometimes we also add to Jesus' work, in a sense. Sometimes we think, "Yeah, Jesus, you're my Savior from sin, but don't forget that good little work I did. Yep, I'm pretty awesome. That's why God loves me. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. You know why? Christ plus me. My works. The good things I do." We add to Christ's work like that sometimes. And you know, whenever we add to Christ's work, you know what you're really doing? You're subtracting from their work in the same way. You're taking away what he's done for us. And you don't want to subtract from Christ's work because that puts you in some bad company. That's what the devil does. And let me tell you, the devil's going to lose. Okay? He already has lost. You don't want to be on that side. So listen closely to how the disciples respond to Jesus' question. Jesus asked, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter, answering on behalf of the 12, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Short little answer. So much packed into that confession. He was the Christ, Peter says, the Son of the living God. And what you actually see is Peter uses three "thus." Literally, he actually says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the one. Jesus, that's you. You're him. The one. You are the Christ." Christ and Messiah mean the same thing. They mean the anointed one. Something that is anointed is something that's set apart for a special service to God. And that's a phrase that the Israelites used in the Old Testament, looking forward to the one who was to come, the promised Savior. He was set apart for that special service. And you see all of that throughout the whole Old Testament. You read the Old Testament and you can see it's clear. From the very first sin, when Satan brought sin and all of its delusions into the world, the Christ was promised to crush the head of Satan. A little later on, Jesus again is promised as being the one who would bless all nations through the children of Abraham, the Israelites. The Israelites were given these Old Testament sacrifices, and boy, the pictures in those are chock full of what the Christ was going to do. The Christ was going to be spotless, without defect, blameless, perfect, without sin. In other words, he was going to confess God and what he was doing through the Christ perfectly throughout his whole life. And every thought, word, deed, everything he proclaimed, he did it perfectly on behalf of you and me. You look at those same sacrifices and you see that this spotless lamb was going to be a sin offering He was going to pay for all of those sins by his blood. Every time that we have ever added to Christ's work in our confession, each of those transgressions he was pierced for. Each of those iniquities of when we subtract from what Christ did in our confession, he was crushed for those. Every sin that we have ever committed when we falsely confess Christ, even those, he remembers no more. We're forgiven. That's what the Christ was going to do. And it means something big. Big. And that's what Peter meant when he said, "You are the Son of the living God." First of all, not only was Jesus the Son of man, he was the Son of God. God and man together in one person, because he was that perfect Savior, that key that we needed to pay for all of the sins of the whole world. He is the Son of the living God, not those dead false gods, not anything like that. No, the living God who is life and brings life and gives life to all through his word. You name it, he gives that life, eternal, spiritual, physical. It's him. It's in him, through him, from him, all of it. He is the living God. That is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is Jesus. That's all that's packed into those names. And that is who we get to confess. That's quite the confession. And that is the content of our confession. We confess Christ, no other God. We confess Christ, no other human or false opinions. We confess Christ, not our own works, the Son of the living God. But where does that confession come from? Where does that content come from? Well, that's what Jesus mentions next in his reply to Peter. Peter gave his confession, and Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Jesus makes this big contrast. Calls Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. Talks to him as if he's talking about his natural self. "And it was not revealed to you by man." People a lot of times feel like they have this natural spirituality inside of themselves, where they feel close to God or to any God. Even some Christians will tell you that you have to make a decision for Christ, and then that is how you come to faith. Even we, when we confess our faith in Jesus, we sometimes think we have to give that perfect confession and present it in this perfect way so that somebody else can accept it and they can come to faith. But it's not from us. It's not from man. It doesn't come from the smartest people in the world, or those who are the greatest spiritual detectives. Yes, oh, Jesus, he is the Christ. It didn't suddenly dawn on us when we came to faith. Like, oh, yes, Jesus of Nazareth. 2,000 years ago, he was the Savior. It wasn't something that, when we heard it, seemed extremely logical. Yes, God is three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay. Jesus is both God and man together. Jesus took all of the sins of the whole world of all time, past, present, future, upon himself. He died, but he rose to life again. He promises that all of us will rise to life again someday. Yes, it all seems so logical. I'll believe that. It doesn't come from us. And thank God it doesn't. It comes from the Father in heaven. And you can take that to the bank. Thank God it comes from him, because if we were left to ourselves, there would be no hope. How do we create faith in ourselves? How do you do it? You can't. And thankfully, you can't. You can't make a decision for Christ. God makes that decision for you when he gives you that faith. And now I don't have to worry, did I decide for Christ? Did I really make that choice? Did I bring myself to faith? No. You have the solid hope that God brought you to faith. That means that when you confess Christ to others, you don't have to worry about giving it in this perfect way. Just confess Christ. God will take care of the faith part. Great confession, the content. Great source of the confession. And yet we still have this fear when it comes to those moments when we confess. So what do? Well, we listen to what Jesus says next, because he's going to give us not just a very great responsibility, but also a very great comfort as well. He's going to tell us the result of our confession. He uses a play on words with Peter's name here. He's about to use Peter's name. Peter means rock. And here he says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The rock, that is what he will build his church on. He will build it. What is the rock? It wasn't Peter. It was that rock-solid confession of faith that Peter gave. That was the rock. So when you confess your faith, Jesus builds his church on it. That's the end result. And the end result, well, that'll never be overcome. Not even the gates of Hades, the realm of the dead, that symbol of evil and sin, not even that. No evil, no sin will ever overcome Christ's church. Nothing will prevail against it. You have that promise. That's the end result. And to help get it there, God has given his church a great blessing in the keys. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. What do you do with keys? You lock and you unlock, as they said just a little bit ago. You find yourself with someone that you love and they're caught in a sin and they don't care what God says. What do you say? You lock the kingdom of heaven. You tell them there is no heaven for those who refuse to repent of what God says are sins. You use that binding key to bind that guilt to them, in hopes that you could use that loosing key, that you might lead them to repentance so that you can loose that sin from them and tell them that they are forgiven in Christ. God gives us that privilege as if it's coming from Christ himself. Those are the keys. And it's not just for situations like that. That loosing key is for other situations as well. You find yourself in the doctor's office. Turns out you're sitting next to somebody who's battling a tough disease. And they're tired and they're worn out and they feel like there's no hope. You find yourself driving behind a major accident. You pull somebody out of the car to the side of the road, but they're dying and you can't do anything about it. What do you say? You find yourself talking to a friend and on their couch they discuss with you and reveal that they are caught in the sin and they're struggling with it and the weight of it, the guilt. It's weighing down on them more than they can bear. What do you say? You unlock the kingdom of heaven to them. You unleash it. You tell them about the Christ, the Son of the living God, and everything that that means. You tell them that they're forgiven. We have that privilege. Christ will build his church on that. Jesus, when he got done saying all these things to his disciples, warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. He did that for two reasons. First of all, the Jews in his day had a false idea of who the Messiah was, and so that would just lead them into more false understanding. Secondly, the disciples didn't fully understand what they were to do. They would in time, but at that point they didn't. So Jesus tells them, don't tell anybody right now that I am the Christ. God doesn't give us that command. God tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. So we do. We confess Christ. And no one else, nothing else, just Christ. Loosing and binding of the kingdom of heaven to all of those around us. You find yourself in the line at the grocery store. Find yourself having lunch with a coworker in the break room. You find yourself with a parent who doesn't know Jesus at a sporting event. You find yourself as one of St. Mark's mighty warriors knocking door to door. You identify somebody else. I don't know. Fill in the blank. What do you say? Thanks to God and through God, you confess Christ and everything that that means. And when you do that, He will build His church. Amen. Please stand. May the fact that God has opened heaven for you through Jesus guard your hearts and minds through faith in that fact. Amen. We now confess our faith in the Christ, the Son of the living God, according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now join together in the You Are God, We Praise You on page 9. As we give thanks to our God through our offerings. This morning in the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Bev Heinitz, and Clara Jackson. We also pray for all of those celebrating anniversaries this week, including Edward and Trista Webb, celebrating 24 years of marriage, Jim and Brenda Well, celebrating 49 years of marriage, and Terry and Pam Drennan, celebrating 50 years of marriage. We also pray for those celebrating birthdays this week, and we include a special prayer for those suffering from the hurricanes and other severe weather throughout the country. We pray together responsively the prayer of the church to the God of the church on page 10. Almighty God, with gladness we give thanks for all your goodness. We bless you for the love which you created with which you created us and by which you sustain us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, through whom you have made known your will and grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the encouraging example of the fruits of faith your Spirit produces in the lives of believers, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us treasure in our hearts all that our Lord has done, and enable us to show our thankfulness with lives that are given to your service. Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Give it pastors and ministers filled with your Spirit, and strengthen it through the Word and the Holy Sacraments. Make it perfect in love and in all good works, and establish it in the faith. Sanctify and unite your people in all the world, that one holy church may confess the Son of the living God. Give your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their faithful service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to labor in the gospel, both at home and in distant lands. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you and your church on earth, who now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, and bring us at last to the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Be with them, their families, their doctors and nurses, and all others who are helping them shoulder this burden. Lift their spirits with the sacrifice of Christ, whose death made sure that someday all of these difficulties will vanish forever. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Allow this day to be an opportunity for their continued thanks for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the love of those celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the love you have for us all. Please be with everyone who is preparing for and experiencing the difficulties that come with severe weather. Give them the comfort of the promises you give in your word, and help the Christians among them and around them to show their trust and love in you. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in unity with the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. We join together in the next hymn, hymn 749, in those blue supplement books in front of you, The Love of Christ Who Died for Me. Please stand. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love. And that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 382.
Big round of applause again for all the kids
singing. Well done.
I'm going to request a round of applause for the piano player and violinist. Well done, Marty.
And Vincent, well done.
God be praised. What a beautiful service. Thank you, you guys, for all of your work. Let's see. We got a lot of announcements here because there was a lot going on. God be praised again. There's a mom's Bible study that started today. Keep that in mind. There's a sign up, I believe, somewhere. But that'll be next week in between the services. There's a Joy of Living women's Bible study. That will be on Thursday mornings at 9:30, from 9:30 to 11 a.m. That starts this week. Thursday, 9:30 to 11 a.m. There's also Dad's Breakfast coming up this Friday if you're a dad and you want some good breakfast and you want to learn about some of God's Word with some people, have a short Bible study. We're going to do that Black Bear Diner right over here in the corner, 6 a.m. There's also a big celebration this evening. It's a big day here at St. Mark's. St. Mark's got another new pastor, and we're going to install him this evening at 4 p.m. So you're all invited to that, of course. And there's a big fellowship afterward. I know I mentioned it, but Lutheran potlucks. Wow. There's some good food in Lutheran potlucks. So please come to that and stick around for the food. We get to celebrate Pastor Colander coming. Mighty Warriors event this Saturday. If you want to knock on doors and confess Christ, that's this Saturday. I believe time on that, 8:30 a.m. it starts. We're kind of going to review some of the things that you can say, and then we're going to hit the pavement and head out there. Then there's a picnic 2 weeks after that, September 30th. There are sign-ups in the back for that. If you would like to come, please sign up so that we can get an idea of numbers. If there's something that you wanted to bring, please sign up for that. If there's something that you're able to help set up with, sign up for that as well. Those are in the back. Also this Saturday is the Tea and Tasty Treats celebration with the LWMS. That'll be a fun night. And there will be a beautiful woman, Heather Groth, my wife, will be giving a presentation on India, our time in India. She's blushing. I can see it from here. So that's this Saturday, Tea and Tasty Treats. A big Reformation celebration coming up, a huge moment in the history of the world. It's the 500th anniversary of it, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime celebration where all the Lutheran churches, the Wells churches in the area, they can come to here, and we're going to celebrate and praise God for what he did in the Reformation, bringing back the light of the gospel to the church. So that'll be October 8th. Also, sign-ups in the back for that if you wanted to come, if you wanted to help set up or anything in that. So look for those as well. There's some volunteer opportunities as well. If you look at the weekly update, there's a couple listed there, so please keep that on your mind and heart as you think about how you could help serve the church. That would be great. And then lastly, we will watch the Wells Connection for this month.